So we're sitting around and we're discussing expectations and rewards and KPIs and I guess all the usual stuff that business owners and CEOs sometimes discuss. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. It's episode 5047. Grow Great, the podcast. Visit the website at growgreat.com. So this conversation is happening, and it begins with a conversation about KPIs, key performance indicators, and what are you measuring? And that conversation morphs into, okay, well, now what are we, are we really rewarding these KPIs, these things, and how did you arrive at those? And of course, those are, in many ways, those are fascinating conversations for me. To just figure out what people pay attention to and how they came to the decision to pay attention to that. Fundamentally, I'm a real practical person and quite simple. I get the fact that we're chasing revenue. Ultimately, we're chasing bottom line profitability. But of course, as you and I both know, there are so many things along the way that contribute to those things or detract from those things. And so I begin telling the story of going to a gym. I have been a member of a certain national chain of gyms that exist here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for the better part of 15 years. And I have seen scads of managers come and go. These facilities, based on my experience, tend to not keep a manager for much longer than 4 months, which I just find amazing. But, and I'm not saying that that is statistically true. I've just watched it and I've seen it's just a revolving door. Now, sometimes people can stay longer, but I've seen three managers in the span of 8 months during the course of my time as a client. And so I want to put context to this. I'm speaking, yes, as a guy who's got some business acumen and some business experience, but I'm speaking as a customer, a paying customer who has paid a lot of money over the course of 15 years. And so I am obviously part of the retention program, meaning we want to get a customer and then we want to keep a customer. Now, the facilities are large, and some facilities are new, some facilities are not. Now, in the area where I have lived and mostly gone to the gym to work out, these facilities have not necessarily been brand spanking new. They obviously were at one time, but some of these are kind of long in the tooth. And in seeing this revolving door and these facilities, and there have been a variety of issues that have been challenging for me as a customer through the years. There can be equipment that is worn or broken down. Well, now, I got news for you. Every gym in America has that challenge because these are machines that take and get a lot of use and a lot of abuse. And it's fine. Right? No problem. You go up to a treadmill and it may have that sign on it that it's out of commission. The ones that drive me crazy are the ones that ought to be out of commission, but they're not. You know, nobody has tagged them properly. But the real thing that steps out for me and what I was sharing with this group and these conversations is cleanliness. A big barometer for me, and of course, I'm an operator. I was in retail for years and years and years, and so that experience, that client-customer experience is super important, and I'm really fanatical about it. Extraordinary and remarkable and dazzling. I mean, these are the words that always resonated with me and the words that I always used and still do when it comes to client or customer experience. I just so believe in it because I think it drives top-line revenue, and it drives bottom line net profitability as well. So as I'm this customer and over the span of this time, I see facilities and I see managers come and go, and I never see a change. I never see a change. This manager is behaving just like the last manager did. And I've been fascinated by this. I haven't dug in and done a lot of research, but I may. And I've wondered about this company's culture. Now, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Tons and tons of national competitors, tons of regional competitors, tons of local competitors. So this is a tough racket. Well, no big deal to me. I come from retailing. There ain't a bigger racket. I'm defining racket as being cutthroat and insanely competitive, not as something illegal or immoral. Things don't change. Things don't change. If whatever was happening before that was not all that positive under one manager, new person comes in, you're going to think, well, okay, new sheriff is in town. Now it's, no, just like the old sheriff, and then a new one, and then a new one, and then a new one. Now, the current facility that I'm going to now was completely remodeled a few years ago. And, of course, when you've got a lot of people coming and going, it's understandable that upkeep is a constant thing. These facilities, I do know this, they have kind of a general manager. They have a sales manager. They have a facilities manager. And so they've got somebody on staff who it's their job to obviously take care of all of the equipment and just the overall facility. These are big facilities. And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. Again, we're going to bring this back down to what's important to us. Why is that important to us? And how are we doing anything about it? If it's not hitting the marks we want, then what are we going to do about it? What I have found in just observation and a few cursory conversations through the years is that corporate, for this particular chain of workout centers, corporate is obviously concerned about a number of things. They're concerned about some numbers. And so I see these managers constantly in their offices on speaker phones. I'm assuming there's a lot of conference calls that are being had. In fact, I know so. They are filling out a ton of reports, and I'm assuming that all of these managers are competent. Now, they may not be, but it's just easier to work from the assumption that they are. And so as these managers come and go, it's clear to me that corporate is getting whatever they need to get from these managers. So you with me? So whatever KPIs are important to them, they're either being met or they're not being met, but the reporting of those KPIs seems to be a real focal point. And these managers, by and large, clearly are fulfilling that role. Meanwhile, I'm a customer. Now, I can imagine, because I'm a business guy, what those KPIs might be. How many new memberships have you brought in this week? What do your product sales look like? How many hours of training sessions have you been able to sell this week? I get it. Meanwhile, I can come into the gym, and there's a cleaning crew that comes in. Now, how often do they come in? I don't know. I go every day. Now, I don't go the same time every day necessarily, but I go every day. And I'll see a cleaning crew over the span of going to the gym 6 or 7 times in a week. I'll see a cleaning crew probably twice. They could come every day for all I know. But they don't do much cleaning, quite frankly. Not by my standards anyway. Now, they move dirt around. But then you can just take a cursory look anywhere. You don't have to look hard. And you'll see a layer of dust on all kinds of stuff. You'll see a layer of dust on railings. You'll see a layer of dust on stairways. You'll just see a layer of dust just anywhere you look. Now, I'm a noticer. I'm an observer. It's one reason that I was as good as I was at retail, because I pay attention to the details. And it's not that I'm trying to be a nag, and it's not that I'm just going and looking for, they just jump out at me. I just notice things. So I'm stretching, and in the area where I'm stretching, there's this towel. It appears to be a clean towel. This place, they hand out towels if you want. And there appears to be this clean white towel. They're all white. Laid over this bar, 10 feet down the railing. And I stretch and I go on my merry way. I come back the next day, different time. 24 hours or so have elapsed since my last visit, and there's the towel again. I come back the next day, and there's the towel again. I come back 4 days in a row. That towel has not moved. Well, neither has the dirt. And I watch this manager, and this manager has been there now for a few months. And I've been watching her behavior. Every time I see a change in leadership, I start paying attention, and I just watch what they do. They're in their office a lot. They're on phone a lot. They're on their computer a lot. And I know, because I've seen this happen so many times before, that they're not loafing. Now, they could be, but by and large, they're doing what corporate wants them to do. They are focused where corporate wants them to focus. Yes, I'll see them walk through the facility every now and again, but you don't see them out on, quote-unquote, the floor of the facility. You don't see them out there very often. Now, this is a place where I come in and you type in your phone number, and then you put your finger on a fingerprint reader, and it identifies you, and it either says, "Have a great, enjoy your workout," or it says, "See receptionist." Sometimes it doesn't quite scan properly, and you have to try it a couple of times. And usually the person behind that counter is very friendly, and they will greet you and, "Hey, good afternoon, good morning," whatever it is. And after you get checked in, "Enjoy your workout." That's kind of their routine. Fine, no problem. There are some times where the manager and this person who appears to be her right-hand person, because they're almost always together, so I'm just making an assumption here, and they're behind the counter. And this has happened to me a handful of times. And there's not this usual person behind the counter. And I approach the counter, and they're in conversation. There's nobody else around. It's just me and them. They're on the other side of the counter. Nobody's on the phone, and they're having a conversation. Nobody looks up. They don't look my way. They don't say hello, kiss my ring, nothing. Now, I'm not offended by this, but I'm thinking this is really bad business. And I'm thinking, okay, this is leadership. This is leadership's behavior. And is it any wonder that the people are following that lead? No. But I'm empathetic enough, and I'm not going to throw rocks at this particular manager or any of the prior managers, because I know that there's something happening above them at the corporate level that probably just ain't right. And I've long wondered, how long am I going to be working out at this place? How long before something happens to this organization? Now, my experience, I don't claim is empirical evidence, because, to be fair, I have only been a member of this particular club, quote unquote, for 15 plus years. There are others. I just know what I hear from customers of other said places, and, it's not quite the same, and it makes me wonder. Now, I could sit down with the CEO of this company, and I would have quite a lot to offer, by the way, but I'm suspecting that whatever KPIs are important to him or her, and I couldn't tell you if the CEO is a man or a woman of this particular company, I haven't looked it up, big organization, I would suspect that the KPIs that are important to this person, that's exactly what management down at the club level, that's what they're paying attention to. And so in his or her perfect world, everything's fine. Or it's not. I realize clubs, they can miss their marks and they can not make their numbers and all of that. But assuming that they're making their numbers or they're getting close, then hey, everything's fine. When I can tell you that if that CEO would come down out of their office and just do a walkthrough And I used to see this. You don't see it much anymore. If I were the CEO of this company and I just made a 10-minute casual walk through this organization, this facility where I go and I work out, a big, big facility, I would have quite a laundry list of things that I would want that manager to fix immediately. Would any of those fit the KPI? Probably not. Just probably not. So I'm asked the question in this conversation, well, what would you do? What's the first thing you would do? And I said, well, don't think I hadn't given that some thought. And don't think I haven't given thought that the first person I would fire would be the manager, which may not be terribly fair because the manager's just doing whatever KPIs are being imposed. I said, I can tell you the first thing I would do. Now, this place has a kids club, so you got somebody in charge of the kids. Okay, well, I'm leaving that alone. I don't mean the facility, but the person. I'm not, you know, we're not going to take away supervision of kids. But I'm going to pick a downtime or a closed time, preferably a closed time. And this is one of those places that's open quite a lot. Well, let's just say there's a 2 and a 4 in their name. I would have all hands on deck and we're going to clean this Hummer. We're going to go and we're going to check every single piece of equipment and make sure that it works properly. And if it doesn't, we're going to notate that. And all these machines have barcodes. It's all tracked. I mean, they've got access to things that they didn't have access to clearly 20 years ago or more. So this is not rocket science here. This is just fundamental, basic, good old, let's have a clean environment. Let's make this experience remarkable by having equipment that always works instead of having a treadmill that squeaks so loud that people within 5 treadmills on either side of it with earbuds in their ears can't even hear their own music. Have you been to the gym and you've seen this phenomenon? Oh, it exists. Trust me, it exists. I mean, I see it and hear it nearly every time I go. And there's this row, and I know this is you. If you go to the gym, you absolutely are going to be able to relate to this. There's this row of 20 treadmills. Now, there's another whole section with a bunch of others, but the row that I kind of prefer, a big long row, and there's probably 20. Out of those 20, and I've tried them all, there's 2, maybe 3, but there's 2 in particular. There's 2 in particular that I want to get on because they don't make a bunch of racket and they work. They feel smooth. Now I walk fast. I don't run. Come on. I'm not built for speed. There's two. There are a handful that you just absolutely, even if there was one next to it that was great, you don't want anywhere near it because and that's all you hear, and it will drive you insane. As for, you know, weight machines and stair climbers and all the other stuff, I get that this stuff breaks down, but this is the business you are in. Why do you have a multi-$1,000 piece of equipment, presumably, that nobody can do anything with or that won't work properly? I think cleanliness, and I'm on this pulpit, right, to this group. I'm getting quite animated just like I am now because this stuff drives me crazy because I get frustrated when I know our businesses can be dramatically improved, and it's not some big thing. In fact, I was telling the story, and not everybody's a Bible reader, much less a Bible believer, but there's a story of a man named Naaman. He's a leper, but he's a big shot in the army, and he's got a little servant girl, right? She came from God's people. She knows a prophet, and this prophet can heal him of his leprosy. So she tells him about it, and he goes off with his entourage, and he's expecting this prophet to come out because he's somebody, right? He's a big shot. And just do it. Well, the prophet's little minion comes to the door and says, here's what the prophet says you need to go do. You need to go down to the Jordan River, and you need to dip 7 times. And if you do that, you'll be clean. Well, he is mad as a wet hen. He is not happy with this. Is not what he signed up for. Doesn't he know who I am? It's that kind of a deal. I'm somebody. You know, I thought surely that he'd come out himself and talk to me and maybe pass his hand over me or something and make me whole. He's challenged by a servant. Master, if he would have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, of course he would have. But because he wasn't told to do some great thing, he's inflamed. He's mad about it. Now, I want you to get the picture here. The man's got leprosy. He ain't going to get any better. It's getting bad. It's worse. He can go and do what the prophet told him to do through a messenger, dip 7 times in Jordan and be clean, or he can stay mad, not do anything, and remain a leper. Your choice. Many times that's how we are in running our businesses. We want to do some great thing, and we want to focus on some, you know, some big KPI. Do you not understand? I hope you do. And if you don't, I hope you'll think about it. That if you were the CEO of a club, a health club, a gym, and cleanliness and having equipment that properly worked 100% of the time, let's just take those two things. Let's don't take anything else. Just those two things. Do you not see that those would really impact your sales, your profitability, because they would make a complete difference in the client experience, and that without clients, you're not going to get more revenue, and without more revenue, you're not going to get more profit? There are times in our businesses, guys and gals, where we are overlooking the simple, the mundane, and yet the thing that will make us remarkable, because we're struggling and striving to do some great thing. Do you realize how many companies, I'll pose the question, and I asked this and I got the same response that I know I would get from you if I could hear your response in real time. You've never gone to a store. You've never gone into a restaurant. You've never gone into any kind of place of business and approached the counter or an employee group and been ignored. That's never happened to you, has it? I can hear you laughing all the way from here. It happens to us all. What's the KPI? I have talked with CEOs of retailing companies. Well, you know, one of the things that we install in one of our procedures is for the customer to be greeted within so many feet of the store, or to answer a phone on this, no more than this many rings. Well, okay, I guess that's a great policy, but how important really is that? Where's your focus as a leader? Do your people really know how important that is, and do they really understand why that's important? And do you realize that you could greet a customer within 10 feet, 50 feet, whatever the footage is, within whatever you prescribe, and that still be a really rotten experience, but they can tick the box? And as for the phone, do you not think that an employee could answer the phone, every phone call, on the second ring, but they could answer it kind of in a surly fashion? Oh, no, I've had a CEO say, no, but we've got it scripted what they are supposed to say. And we do call, we do mystery calls, and we check on that. Okay, well, do you measure whether or not they've got a smile on their face? I'll never forget a conversation with a leader. And well, I, you know, we're making a phone call. We can't tell. And I said, you can't tell if somebody's got a smile on their face on the phone. Well, no. And I said, well, I can. All you got to do is listen. You're busy checking the boxes. You're busy saying, okay, did they say these words? I care about how you say them. You can say good morning or good afternoon any number of ways. Good morning. Good morning. Check the box. I got two boxes checked. The first one was very different than the last one. Good morning. Check the box. He said good morning. Good job. KPI, check. Got it. I hope you're understanding that these details that matter about customer experience. Listen, I'm on a crusade. I've been on a crusade my entire working life for remarkability, for businesses, particularly for small businesses, to just be stinking remarkable. If you're opening your doors, I don't care what your business is, and I don't care if you're B2B or if you're B2C, you're opening your doors. You got something to offer. I made a comment to a salesperson many, 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 many years ago who was not doing a very good job and acted like he really didn't like his job, and he was hoping that it would lead to something else. I said, you know, here's the problem, dude. You got to grow where you're planted. You're going to be here from this particular hour to this particular hour every day, right? Yeah. Okay, well, that's 7, 8, whatever it was. Let's call it 8 hours. You're going to be here for 8 hours. That 8 hours is going to pass no matter what you do, right? Yeah, that's right. Why not make the most of it? I mean, there's your KPI. Your KPI as a business, your KPI as a business owner, as a CEO is people are going to be doing stuff within the time frame that you've got them in your business. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to marshal this resource? Focus on all your KPIs. I'm not saying throw the KPIs out the window. I'm just saying, can you not dig a little bit deeper behind what's driving these KPIs? It's customers. It's customer experience. It's what I say about your... I'm here on a podcast talking about an organization that I've kind of hinted at their name, and if you're paying any kind of attention at all, you know who I'm talking about. I could have just as easily spent the better part of the last 30 minutes telling you how great, how wonderful, and how, boy, this is exemplary. This is the way. No, they're an example of how not to do it, and yet I'm still their customer. I'll tell you why. I signed up 15 years ago, and I prepaid for 3 years. Yeah, it was a kind of a stupid amount of money, but I did it for two reasons. Number one, I did it because they had a number of facilities and they had one close by. They had friendly hours. And I knew that if I stepped up and pre-committed, then I would do what I needed to do, and that was get better control over my fitness. And it worked. And I've been, in spite of their deficiencies, it's okay. Is it great? Is it wonderful? Now, what I did by prepaying for 3 years is I made it super affordable every year after that. My annual membership up until a couple of years ago was like $50 a year. Well, I knew I couldn't beat that. Well, you could say, well, come on. What do you expect? You're only paying $50. I didn't set the pricing. They set the pricing. They made the offer. I took them up on the offer. Me taking them up on a seemingly ridiculous pricing offer, given that a lot of people are paying $40, $50, $60 a month, and I pay that in a year, that's not my fault. You can't hide behind, well, you know, if you paid more, we'd keep it cleaner. I mean, if you paid more, yeah, the treadmills wouldn't go. Sorry for those of you with earbuds in. You see how ridiculous that is. I'm saying, take a look at your KPIs, pull back, find out what's driving those, what's behind those. And I'm not saying that it's always going to be cleanliness. I'm, for me, especially in a retail environment, and you may not have a physical environment. You may be doing, everything you do may be online. But it's indicative of care. It's indicative of commitment. Show me a restaurant. Show me a gas station. Show me a convenience store. Show me anything you want. And let me see the level of cleanliness, and I will compare that to the commitment level of the people and of leadership, and I can promise you I will be spot on. Let me end by giving you a counter, and I'm not going to spend any time on this, but I'm just going to give you a name of a company. And if these don't exist where you are, then I'm sad for you. But there's a convenience chain called Quick Trip. Quick Trip. Kids, they got it down. I'd love to spend some time with their ownership. They're privately held. I'd love to spend some time with this company. These people have got it going on. Their stores are pristine. They're clean. Their people are always friendly. They're always energetic. They're on top of it. They are stinking on top of it. Quick Trip. There you go. I wanted to end on a high note. And I think we just did. My name is Randy Cantrell. You can find out more about me and what I do and all the other stuff over at growgreat.com. I wish you and your small business all the very best. See you next time.